Tonight, the King County NAACP holds a march and rally for the Charleston Nine, the nine people who were shot and killed in a Charleston, South Carolina church late last month. The alleged murderer is a white man who photographed himself with a Confederate flag. This morning, the South Carolina Senate passed a bill to remove the Confederate flag from the grounds of the State House there, but the South Carolina House may not move that measure on. Lest you think the Confederate flag is only an issue in the South, think again. There are Confederate flags flying here in Washington State, and there are groups like the Pacific Northwest Chapter of Sons of Confederate Veterans and the Seattle Chapter of the United Daughters of the Confederacy. Author and writer Knut Berger wrote about this recently in Crosscut. Welcome back, Knut.
Thanks for having me.
Take us back here. Was the Civil War a major issue out here back when Washington was still a territory in the 1860s?
Well, it's interesting. There were no major battles fought out here. A lot of officers, both Confederate and Union, who fought in the Civil War did time out here before the war, so there are a lot of connections. But all of the issues related to the Civil War were present in the politics here in the 1850s and 1860s. And it was intense. There was an intense fight for the hearts and minds of Pacific Northwest citizens in relation to the Civil War.
And what you did in your story is look back and found that the symbols of the Civil War still persist here. What did you find?
Well, they do. Well, one of the most interesting stories, I think, was the Jefferson-Davis Highway controversy. And if you drive down I-5 and as you go by Ridgefield, Washington, so you're down near Vancouver, Clark County, you will see a small park on the right-hand side of the road, and it has an American flag and a Confederate national flag flying there, and a plaque dedicated to memorializing Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy. And this came out of an effort in the 1930s to name Highway 99 from Blaine to Vancouver the Jefferson Davis Highway. And that was part of an effort nationally to get Jefferson Davis's name on stretches of highway all over the country. And it was pushed by the United Daughters of the Confederacy.
And it was a hot issue at the time.
It was an issue at the time. After the Civil War, the Confederate flag, Confederate symbols, you know, these things kind of went through an evolution of, for a while, the Confederate flag, the battle flag, is with the St. Andrew's cross on it, that is the subject of controversy today, was, in eclipse. But there was an effort at sort of North-South reconciliation in the 1880s. President Cleveland ordered that all Union veterans groups return captured Confederate flags to the Confederacy. This was very controversial at the time. As time went on, Confederate veterans groups began to insist on having a place in Memorial Day and other celebrations. And so there was controversy over the flag and over the meaning of the flag. And an effort on the part of the families of Confederate veterans to have their parents recognized in the historic record.
This might be surprising to people to hear that there's a Confederate national flag flying here in Washington State, but it's been an issue in the South and in Carolina and other places in the South for some years now. Has this issue reawakened concern about the fact that the stars and bars are flying here too?
Yeah, of course, this Confederate flag along I-5 is on private property. There was a back in the early 2000s, there was an effort to get the designation of Highway 99 as the Jefferson Davis Highway removed. And it turned out the state had never officially dubbed it the Jefferson Davis Highway, but they had allowed these plaques calling it that to be placed. So the plaques were removed. One is now where the Confederate flag flies. The other, I think, in Blaine is in a warehouse somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what happened to that. But I think people are surprised to learn that there were people in the Pacific Northwest who lionized people who other people would think of as, treasonous racists.
Knut Berger from Mossback is with us. He wrote a piece looking at the history of the Confederate flag and other symbols of the Confederacy here in Washington State, I was really surprised to see that there's a Pacific Northwest chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans and a Seattle chapter of the United Daughters of the Confederacy. I don't go to every Seafair parade, but I do not recall seeing a float by either of those groups. Do they have much of a profile?
They don't have much. They have an online profile. You can go to United Daughters of the Confederacy. Robert E. Lee chapter in Seattle has a Facebook page, and so you can find them online. They don't use the Confederate battle flag as their symbol. They use the stars and bars, which was the first Confederate flag. That's a flag that doesn't seem – people are less familiar with it, and it doesn't seem to have the same radical symbolism of the battle flag for a lot of people.
I mean, I think people in the Northeast and the Northwest, for that matter, like to think of – these issues as being Southern issues and not yeah. really having anything to do here. And your article and this Lorraine McConaughey book about a slave who was in Washington State who ran away and made an effort to bring him back. This is in Territorial Times, brings forward that history. What does the presence of these symbols from the Civil War tell us about present-day Washington State, do you think?
Well, to me, it just tells us that our past is more complicated than you would like to believe. There were people who wanted the Pacific Northwest to be an all-white separate country, that wanted the Pacific Northwest to be an allied independent country with the Confederacy. There were people who wanted to have slavery here. Washington was a territory at the time, and as you know, in the run-up to the Civil War, the big issue was could slavery extend to the territories? And in fact, the state of Oregon solved the problem by simply banning all blacks, free or slave, from their state. Oregon's the only state that entered the Union with that provision in their constitution.
Wow.
We are who we are for a lot of reasons, but some of those reasons stem back to the politics and the sectional fighting of the 1850s and 60s. People often believed they could move here. And you can actually look in the Pioneer newspapers and people would say, we want to get away from all this sectional strife and the Rocky Mountains will provide a barrier. Once we get on the other side of the Rockies, we won't have to think about race. We won't have to think about slavery. We won't have to think about those things. But often that was also a way of saying, we don't want to fight about it, but we bring our prejudices with us.
Canute, wasn't there also a very active Ku Klux Klan in the Northwest 40 or 50 years after the Civil War?
Well, yes, there was. And you can actually find photographs of these large Ku Klux Klan banquets down in Belltown and other places. One of the largest Klan rallies in U.S. history was held in Issaquah in the 1920s. It was big, even bigger, I think, in Oregon, which had a substantially larger Southern population or Southern sympathizing population. And when you look back at the time period in which the Daughters of the Confederacy were advocating for the Jefferson Davis Highway, they argued that Jefferson Davis had an influence on Washington territory, and indeed he did when he was Secretary of War for Franklin Pierce. Hmm. He was responsible for some decisions relating to military roads and infrastructure and forts and whatnot in that period. And so they were kind of justifying it. But the fact is it was also being promoted at the time of that Klan revival. The 1920s and 30s.
A fascinating piece of Washington State history that many would like to forget. Author and writer Canute Berger, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ross.
He recently wrote in Crosscut about symbols of the Confederacy in the Northwest, and you can find a link to his piece. Just go to KUOW.org.